approved mifepristone based on the agency's scientific judgment that the drug is safe and effective. It's maintained that judgment across five presidential administrations, and millions of Americans have used mifepristone to safely end their pregnancies. Respondents may not agree with that choice, but that doesn't give them Article III standing or a legal basis to upend the regulatory scheme.
Lots of news surrounding the very controversial subject of abortion in the last week or so. This goes back to the Supreme Court oral arguments last week over the question of whether mifepristone approved by the FDA to be allowed to be dispensed without an in-person doctor visit, to be used up to 10 weeks of gestation. You know, you could get it mail order, essentially. All kinds of things that the FDA made it easier for women to get what is now used for more than half of the abortions in the United States, this drug protocol to terminate a pregnancy. Mifepristone, that's Elizabeth Prelogar. She is the Solicitor General for the United States, arguing on behalf of the United States Department of Justice and the Biden administration that this... Well, sorry, it's the Biden administration, arguing that this was fine, this was good, and that the doctors who have raised objections, the pro-life doctors, to mifepristone being prescribed in this way, don't have standing because this drug is safe for a long time, and there's no reason for the Supreme Court to be able to give credence to their viewpoint.
FDA approved mifepristone based on the...
Sorry, that's the same clip. Here we go.
At the outset, respondents lack standing. They now concede they can't rely on a statistical theory of injury like the lower courts did. Instead, they have to identify a specific doctor who faces imminent harm. But their theories rest on a long chain of remote contingencies. Only an exceptionally small number of women suffer the kind of serious complications that could trigger any need for emergency treatment. It's speculative that any of those women would seek care from the two specific doctors who asserted conscience injuries. And even if that happened, federal conscience protections would guard against the injury the doctors face. And there's no basis to conclude that any of that would be traceable to the incremental changes that FDA made in 2016 and 2021, as opposed to the availability of mifepristone in general. Respondents' theories are too attenuated as a matter of law. The court should say so and put an end to this case.
Now, if you don't know much about how the Supreme Court operates or the legal principles on which it makes its decisions, it's kind of understandable that your ears might have glazed over a little bit in that discussion. But she just laid out the whole case for why what I think is going to happen is going to happen, which is that the Supreme Court is going to say that the FDA is fine in this rule, that mifepristone can continue to be available on the basis that it is currently, and that these doctors are going to be denied for lack of standings. Because in law, the first question that you always have to ask, and the first question the Supreme Court is always going to ask in a case like this, is do the plaintiffs or the respondents, do they have standing? Can they show that they were harmed? Because if you haven't been directly harmed, you don't have the ability to challenge something in court. You know, I can't just go and say, I disagree with this decision by the FDA because I'm pro-life and I want the Supreme Court to look at it, or any court to look at it, because it hasn't harmed me. It has, you know, made me feel icky and upset and I don't like it, but it hasn't harmed me. So you have to come up with some, otherwise everybody could sue on the basis of any law they disagree with. And you'd have literally thousands of cases in courts that are designed to handle tens of cases, because people who disagree with government action will be bringing lawsuits all the time. So you have to prove that some kind of harm was done to you. And in this case, the harm is, as she explained, that the theory by the other side is that because the FDA made it easier to get mifepristone, that more women are going to use it without appropriate oversight by a doctor, without a follow-up visit by a doctor, that some of them are going to continue to have a pregnancy even after they take the abortion drug, about 3%, somewhere in that vicinity, and that because they continue to have a pregnancy, they're going to need medical attention. This often produces emergency room visits, and in the emergency room visit, sometimes the doctor will be one of these pro-life doctors who doesn't want to have anything to do with abortion, and is going to have to clean up the mess created by the fact that a doctor didn't oversee the prescription of this in the first place, and is going to have to, for example, finish the abortion, okay? That's the argument, and that is a violation of their conscience rights. And because ERs are such sort of hectic, time-sensitive places, there's no ability for that doctor to opt out on the basis of conscience at that time. And she says, look, you not only do you have to show that this would really happen, and there is no certification that this has actually happened, that's part of the problem with the case, but also you have to show that this would happen because the FDA made this decision and not just because mifepristone was available generally. And if you're pro-life and you're listening to this and you're recognizing that this makes it incredibly difficult for them to be able to win the case, you're right. They're not going to win this case. And the Supreme Court justices were siding with her. In my opinion, you have maybe two, maybe three are going to side with her, but maybe none. This might be a 9-0 decision. Now, there's one last piece of this to consider, and that's the idea that there's an imbalance in the way this all gets resolved. Because what you would think is, naturally, the way to resolve this is to create an exemption that the doctors who are pro-life and have to deal with the consequences of a woman showing up in the ER with imminent health needs that this pro-life doctor would prefer not to have to provide because they are part of the overall process of producing an abortion, but that the doctor does have to provide because they are part of this safety net that ERs represent and that they have to do this. You would think that the solution would be, well, just give them a conscience exemption. Let them say I'm out, which, by the way, already exists. Okay, but any kind of exemption like that seems like a very small, relatively easy thing to do, whereas banning mifepristone to be available without a doctor's prescription to women, for example, so easily through the mail up to 10 weeks throughout the entire nation is a massive harm to the people who want to have medical liberty, essentially, to pursue this drug. And Elizabeth Prelogger explained that, and that was large. That's not necessarily the end of the story because you could still have a disproportionate resolution or remedy, they call it, but it's still a big part of this case. You want to know whether the Supreme Court justices sort of see it the way I'm saying they saw it or whether they agree with the plaintiffs in this case? Justice Thomas, very conservative justice.
General, if we agree with you on standing, could you give us an example of who would have standing to challenge challenge these FDA actions?
This is actually a really good question. What he's saying is, if you say they don't have standing, can you give us an example of somebody who would? Because if there's nobody who would be eligible to have standing because nobody is directly harmed by this, then maybe your theory of standing is wrong.
Justice Thomas, I think that if the question is whether there would be individuals who generally oppose abortion who would have standing and want to challenge FDA's actions, the answer to that is no. But the reason is because those people aren't regulated in any relevant way under FDA's decisions here. You know, take these respondent doctors. They don't prescribe mifepristone. They don't take mifepristone, obviously. FDA is not requiring them to do or refrain from doing anything. They aren't required to treat women who take mifepristone. FDA is not directing the women who take the drug to go seek out care from these specific doctors. And so they stand at a far distance from the upstream regulatory action they're challenging.
And look, you know me, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, I'm as pro-life as you can be. I think that abortion is a horrible, wicked, moral evil, and I hate it, and I want it to be illegal. But she's right in this case. The government's right in this case. You'd have to throw over so many legal principles in order to give the plaintiffs their objection against this decision by the FDA that you're basically saying the entire system of jurisprudence is going to have to cater to the conscience whims of a very small number of people who are not even able to show that they were directly affected by government action. They're right. You would have, I mean, what global warming alarmists would be able to sue over if this turns up? What people who believe that guns are wicked would be able to sue over if this is... I mean, you have to play out the principles, right? Law has to be sort of content blind in the sense that it has to allow the same sort of challenges in other situations. And it's almost unimaginable how massive the scope of legal problems you would have if you allowed this case to win. Because it would mean that people with conscience objections to all kinds of things would suddenly have standing based on the very thin causal chain of risk that they might have to violate their conscience to deal with the consequence of what happens when somebody does this thing, as she says, way upstream, that is going to affect them. And if you want to hear kind of the, I don't know, most sort of devastating response on this, Justice Samuel Alito asks the question about standing, which, again, is a fair question. You know, well, would anybody have standing? That seems like a problem if the answer is no. And Prelogger says, yeah, well, that's not within your purview to change.
Okay. Is there anybody who can sue and get a judicial ruling on whether what FDA did was lawful. And maybe what they did was perfectly lawful. But shouldn't somebody be able to challenge that in court? Who, in your view, who would have standing to bring that suit?
I think that with respect to these regulatory changes, it's hard to identify anyone who would have standing to sue. But the court has said time and again that the fact that no one would have standing doesn't provide a basis to depart from Article III principles. It said that in Raines, in Richardson, in Valley Ford, and in Clapper. And so I think it's clear that even if there is no alternative person here who could sue, that doesn't mean that the court should dispense with the indispensable requirements of Article III.
Again. She's exactly right. So if you're wondering, like, what's the takeaway? What is this? How is this relevant to your life? Well, here's the short version. For women who want to be able to access mifepristone, for example, through the mail, particularly from a state where it is legal if you live in a state where it is illegal because they have banned all abortions, or like Florida 30 days from now when abortion will be banned after 6 weeks, but you could still take it up to 10 weeks through some kind of a mail order, let's say, you're still going to be able to. You're still going to be able to. Now, maybe not lawfully in Florida, but you're going to be able to get it because somebody in New York, where it is legal, is going to be able to ship it here. Right? That's so far not been prohibited. In fact, we played to the audio of some woman who prescribes these things out of New York, and she's prescribed it for 10,000 women a month. I mean, it's just it's insane the number of abortions that are being created by places where they do keep this legal. But also, it'll be easier to get. You won't have to go to a doctor, which is the current distinction, right? That's what this decision changed, the increase to 10 weeks and the availability from not having a doctor personally see you and not having a doctor see you afterwards either for a follow-up visit, which is what these doctors are claiming is they serve as the de facto follow-up visit for these abortion pill users. Now, if you're a pro-life, you know, you want to see limits on the availability of abortion. You don't want to see what is sort of the case here, over-the-counter abortions up to 10 weeks through a prescription. You don't want to see that happen, but you don't have the power to stop it, again, unless you work through the state legislature and ban it individually in states based on time, which is like what Florida has done, what Alabama has done, what, you know, Georgia has done, what Texas has done. So the short takeaway on this is you can never be 100% positive about the Supreme Court, but above 90% positive that the ruling on this is going to be, yes, the FDA is allowed, the conscience objection is going to be denied on standing grounds, and it's going to be probably a 7-2, maybe an 8-1, and if it is an 8-1, it'll probably be a 9-0 ruling. The only one who I have any serious thought might rule to give them standing would be Justice Alito. I don't think Thomas will. Gorsuch and Barrett asked questions that indicated they would not. Maybe Roberts would go with him. But again, I think 7-2 is about the best you can hope for in the loss. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Of course, the other big news yesterday is that we will have a chance to vote on the availability of abortion here in the state of Florida on the ballot. I think that was the right decision by the Florida Supreme Court, even though I hate the idea that we're going to vote on it. I think that we ought to have the ability to vote on it, and I don't think that the arguments against that amendment are fair. I think the Supreme Court got that one right, although that was a close call. And I also think that the Supreme Court got it right saying that the privacy amendment in the Florida Constitution was wrongly decided by a previous court, and that that does not protect a woman's right to abortion, that privacy is not in play when you're dealing with another life. And that's what's always the question when you're talking about abortion. And so 15 weeks, yes, and down to 6 weeks within 30 days under the law that was signed last year by Governor DeSantis. 5:24 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go, or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Pep Talk. What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pity the fool.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted and said, interesting fact from all the things going on with the abortion controversy that condom sales are up like 23%. I have not had a chance to research that number, but I think I saw something like that recently. So that seems, and it makes sense, basically because what? Well, when people realize that they don't have as available the, you know, safety net, so to speak, of easily available abortion in the country, they're going to do more to prevent abortion on the front end by using a contraception. People may be irrational to a degree, but they're also rational to a degree. And so they make decisions that sort of fit the circumstances around them. You know, if you say you're going to enforce a crime, guess what? People are, you know, don't do that crime as much, or they do it and they take more care in doing it. You know, I mean, that's just human nature, right? 528, we've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A temporary channel has now been opened around the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse for essential vessels and clearing debris there. President Biden set to visit the city later this week.
It's basically like only a barges for working on the bridge can get through. It's like right. 11 feet of depth and... You know, it's only I saw that and got excited, like, oh, but it's
right,
really
it's,
just
yeah,
to facilitate
really cargo
the
boats.
Yeah,
it's
to facilitate that, you know, the work on the bridge.
A federal judge now rejecting Hunter Biden's efforts to get his criminal tax charges dismissed. Prosecutors accused him of not paying taxes, tax evasion, filing fraudulent forms. Biden's attorney argued the lead prosecutor was acting vindictively and subject to a pressure campaign from Republicans. The judge ruled those arguments did not carry weight. Biden's lawyers have said they plan to appeal. And sad news, the last living survivor of the Japanese attack on the USS Arizona and Pearl Harbor has now died. Luke Hunter died Monday in California. He was 18 when he enlisted in the Navy. He was at his post on December 7th, 1941, when Japanese bombers targeted the Arizona and other ships at port. He was 102.
You know, there were so... You said he was 17 when he enlisted, right?
18.
He's 18 when he enlisted. It got me thinking about how many men enlisted by lying about their age.
Oh, tons of them.
And it's particularly in World War II. But, you know, for other conflicts to some degree. But that was the one where, you know, it was such a duty, it was such a response to the attack that so many people lied about their age and misrepresented their age in order to get into the military. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 here on News Radio 92.3. In case you did not catch it yesterday, of course, the President Trump paying for the big flag in Florida and paying for the second, as all April Fool's Day. Lots of very good, interesting April Fool's Day posts yesterday. The one that got the most attention here locally was the Visit Pensacola one that said that the graffiti bridge now has all kinds of permitting restrictions on who can be able to paint on graffiti bridge, and that if you do get your art approved, you'd only have 5 minutes to put it up there, among other things. No spray painting. I mean, it's funny. I did a graffiti bridge one like 2 years ago. It was them banning graffiti bridge because of paint contamination in the water nearby. But well done, Visit Pensacola. We love you.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Donald Trump posts the $175 million bond in his New York civil fraud case.
The 2024 Republican presumptive nominee originally owed $454 million, but an appeals court cut the bond by more than half. Now AG James is barred from collecting the full judgment while the appeals process plays out. The former president's lawyer is saying he, quote, looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning this unjust verdict.
Fox's Brooke Singman, if he loses on appeal, he's on the hook for the full $454 million judgment. World Central Kitchen says it's pausing its work in Gaza. The disaster relief nonprofit said 7 workers died in Israeli airstrikes as their team was leaving a warehouse in central Gaza. Nobody captured the monster Monday Powerball, so the next drawing Wednesday, it's worth $1.09 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 72 and partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Police in Daphne say they're looking for a Pensacola man in connection to a murder that took place over the weekend. 23-year-old Joseph Gurley is wanted and considered armed and dangerous.
We've, of course, reached out to some neighboring agencies where he's been in trouble before to, run down some addresses and that sort of thing. So it's definitely a community effort and law enforcement community effort in trying to locate him.
And investigators say that early on Sunday morning, they found two shooting victims at an apartment in Abaddon Park. One victim was pronounced dead. The other was taken to the hospital. Gurley had been arrested in January for a probation violation, but was released on March 20th. If you have any information on his whereabouts, you are asked to contact your local law enforcement. Well, as of 12:01 yesterday morning, the Park Pensacola app is no more.
The good news is we've only gotten a small handful of phone calls about that. If you recall, we had kept both apps up and running, the new one, Park Mobile, as well as the Park Pensacola app. So now all mobile transactions are being handled by the new app.
And Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says the city began transitioning over to the Park Mobile app in January, and the Park Pensacola app can now no longer be used for transactions, but information such as stored license plate numbers and transaction history can still be accessed there if you need to access that data. Since the launch, the city has seen over 42,900 transactions through that new Park Mobile app. Well, voters will get a chance to change the state's drug laws as well in November. The Florida Supreme Court did announce yesterday they'll also be allowing a recreational marijuana amendment on November's ballot. Amendment 3 would allow any company that grows and sells marijuana for medical use to sell it to anybody 21 or over. The amendment would also legalize marijuana possession for personal use. That would need a 60% supermajority in order to pass. Toll relief is back here in Florida.
You don't have to do anything. And you'll see it on your May bill to show up. If you reach that threshold where we know you're commuting, you're going to get a 50% reduction.
And the threshold that he mentioned there would be 35 tolls in a given month. Governor Ron DeSantis says other toll roads and not just Florida Department of Transportation managed highways and roads are included in this program. The program would last through March of 2025, and about 1.2 million users saved money every month under this program last year when it was used. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have some patchy fog as you go through the morning hours. Temperatures warming up quickly as you head into the afternoon, highs near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms move in as you go into the evening hours. A few storms could be strong under a slight risk of severe weather. As you go into Wednesday morning, storms start to clear out. Going into Wednesday, temperatures will be starting to cool off with a nice northerly wind. Temperatures on Wednesday near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And it's 72 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton. Your next news at 6. And breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
When Pete Salvato at Only Choice Healthcare talks to people about health insurance, they tell them they worry about having quality health insurance and their finances. Pete knows he will help with both. People are paying huge deductibles and premiums with Obamacare, but you can get a health plan with exclusive benefits and features. There's no deadlines. Enroll anytime. Only Choice Healthcare offers freedom of choice on your medical providers and zero deductibles on outpatient coverage, including surgery. If you're under 65 and in decent health, protect yourself and family. Call Pete and save 30 to 60% with better coverage. This is the best non-Obamacare plan available. Call Only Choice Healthcare at 352-683-3923. That's 352-683-3923. Or go to onlychoicehealthcare.com. It's the only choice. onlychoicehealthcare.com. A quality plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
Join Autism Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 10:30. April is Autism Acceptance Month. Join Autism Pensacola Director Mary McClellan and guests as they talk about the different events going on this month. Autism Pensacola is the leading resource center and community connector for autism support, advocacy, and education. Learn how you can help create a more autism-friendly Northwest Florida. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-6000.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Bob Johnson. He is the Santa Rosa County Sheriff about a variety of things. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We talked about you a little bit last week. I figured I'd give you a chance to talk about yourself because the comments that you made a couple of years ago about this long rap sheet, wanted on warrants, guy who'd been in trouble with the law since he was 13. He gets into a house while you guys are pursuing him, and he winds up getting shot at, maybe shot, I forget, maybe even shot by the somebody in the home. And your comments were, not to put words in your mouth, but to sum it, you know, we'll teach you how to shoot straighter, and you'll save taxpayers money if you do, and we're fine with that in Santa Rosa County. Don't be afraid to defend yourself. Elon Musk liked your comments that have now surfaced from 2 years ago, and you guys said thank you, Elon. Some people, myself included, had raised the question that is it not creating too much of a culture of kill first and ask questions later? You know, you can only shoot. You're only justified in shooting to stop a threat, and if they're not a threat anymore, you're not allowed to shoot. Of course, which I know you know that, but. I don't know, follow-up comments, thoughts, you want to respond to anything, this is your chance.
Yeah, you know, first off, I don't know how it got viral again. All I know is I start getting death threats again once this comes out. So,
great.
But anyway, I don't worry about them because they're all coming from states where you can't buy a gun anyway, so it's not a big deal. But Yeah, so basically what I said was, you know, if somebody kicks in your door and does a home invasion on you, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County because, you know, they're not breaking in to give you a warm hug and some cookies. They're breaking in to commit more felonies, i.e. rape, murder, whatever. So, yeah, I said it, and, you know, I stand by it. It's Florida law, you know. We have to stand your ground, and, you know, you definitely can stand your ground inside your own home for sure. So I don't think it promotes a shoot first, ask questions later. I think it promotes if somebody kicks in your door and you were in there and you shoot and kill them, you're fine. And the reason I say that is most burglars, people say, well, if they're only going to try to steal stuff, most burglars, 99.9% of them, look for empty houses. They don't want confrontation. They just want your stuff. So if somebody kicks in your door while you're there, they definitely have bad intentions. If they don't care for your home and they're still going to kick in your door, yeah, that's a bad thing.
Does it? So one of the concerns that I had had or heard and had was, you know, does it put your agency in any kind of jeopardy if you have an officer is involved in a shooting or if a homeowner is involved in a shooting and, you know, a line gets crossed or it's sort of a margin call close enough to it. And then somebody comes at you with a lawsuit and says, well, you did say this, you know, you've created a culture.
No, and you know, all I'm promoting is I'm not outside the bounds of Florida law. Florida law says that, you know, inside your home, you stand your ground. You don't have a duty to retreat,
right?
Which you don't. So I'm not promoting going out on the sidewalk and saying, hey, there's a trespasser in my front yard, shoot and kill him. No, you can't do that, obviously. But we're talking about home invasions specifically here. And, you know, ever since I had that little press conference, we haven't had a home invasion. It's been over a year. So, I mean, if people know that you have a population that is armed and will defend themselves, crime's going to go down. I mean, you know, like I said, 99.9% of burglars, they don't want confrontation.
Right.
They just want your stuff. They're going to wait for you to go to work, make sure the house is empty, and then they'll break in, take your stuff, whatever. But somebody kicking in the door with you home, yeah, that's they definitely have intentions to do something really bad. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, it's Florida law. And a couple of the talk shows even talked about it, and they said, I don't know why this is so controversial. It's Florida law. I'm just saying what you can do.
Well, and if you had to pick an error for people to make, you'd rather have them err on the side of knowing that it's safe to shoot than being uncertain and hesitating and getting killed, which, I mean, that's a realistic problem if people are too worried about self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a challenge as well. A couple of things that happened in Santa Rosa County this last week. There was a pretty big arrest. Somebody was about $200,000 worth of synthetic marijuana, 150 pounds or so, and that included shooting at your deputies. Is that right?
Yeah, it was actually 200 pounds of spice was what it was.
Okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were executing a search warrant on his house, and the genius pulls up in front of the house, and you got deputies all wearing, you know, vests and stuff that say sheriff and a marked car out there, all this stuff. And he pulls up and pops off a couple of rounds, and of course we get in a pursuit and we end up arresting him anyways. But yeah, you're not going to see this guy on Jeopardy anytime soon. I mean, you got a front lawn full of deputies, heavily armed, and you're going to pull up and pop a couple of caps at him. Genius.
And now he did not get shot, is that right? Or
no?
Okay.
Yeah, no, he didn't get shot.
And did you happen to have the cops crews with you at the time?
No, this was a narcotics thing. So
okay.
Yeah, the cops crew just rides with
patrol officers.
So.
Okay. You also, I think, found some THC-infused candy in Santa Rosa County, the kind of thing that you see these headlines and they seem to always be somewhere else, and kind of, how worried should I be about this or not? What happened here?
Yeah, our interdiction unit on the interstate a couple of nights ago pulled over a car, and they got all that stuff out of there. And they got it's not only just the THC-infused candies, which is bad enough, but I believe they had forgery equipment and some forged bills on them, you know, just the whole kit and caboodle. I think they were going to Miami, from Texas to Miami. And, so you got to be careful of, you know, these. I mean, they look just like candy that you would buy in a store, and except they're THC infused, which is THC is tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the thing in marijuana that gets you high. So, that'd be terrible for a kid to get a hold of something like that, eat a whole bag, and then God knows what would happen.
Is this the first time that they found this in Santa Rosa County? It feels like maybe there was a time before previously.
Yeah, no, this isn't our first time. Okay. I think we've had 3 or 4 incidents with them.
Okay, well, so much the worse, I guess. And then just the last thing I was going to ask you about, which to me, I don't know that I find this all that interesting, but people find interesting things that I don't find that interesting. That's fine. Tiger King, Joe Maldonado, Passage, is in your, the Milton Hilton, as you like to call it. Does that mean anything to y'all or anything? You got to do anything different when it comes to celebrities or semi-celebrities?
No, I mean, it just mainly we try to keep them separated from the general population as much as we can. And, to me, he's not a celebrity. He's just another thug. So it is what it is. You don't want people harassing him or hurting him just because of who he is or, he was on TV. So we try to keep them separated.
I don't know. Is he just here on a hold for like an appearance, or is he being transferred somewhere, or do you even know?
I don't know, because all the charges that he received in Santa Rosa County came from Gulf Breeze Police Department. So we didn't have anything to do with that other than we have to hold him. But I think it's something to do with his case. I don't know if it's an appeal or something. I don't know. But I know they brought him back for some kind of courtroom issue.
Okay. All right. No big deal. I was just kind of curious like I said, it doesn't particularly pique me, but I know for a lot of people that they, look at who's in the jail. I'm like, he was in a different jail. I don't know. What's the big deal?
Yeah. I don't understand what the big deal. The only big deal to me is it's an extra body in my jail that I have to deal with. So.
Right. And special precautions, as you said, that inconvenience your staff. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Spring break okay? Pretty smooth? We're done with the local spring break?
Yeah. It was very uneventful, which is a good thing. We like it that way. We don't get a lot of visitors. They mostly go to Destin and Pensacola Beach, which we are totally okay with. So, it was a quiet week for us.
That's always my favorite thing to find out. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time, and thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Andrew.
Always. 547 here on almost 547 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are thinking about getting that next vehicle, or maybe even not yet thinking about it, because if you're like me, and maybe you're not, not everybody is, some people are, I always put it off too long. I always wait too long, because the thing that usually gets me to buy my replacement vehicle is that I realize I'm spending more money on the pride of keeping a vehicle for a long time and repairing it, which, you have to put $500 now and $1,500 later and, into different things, and then I realize, I can have a newer car with fewer miles, it'll run better, and it'll cost me less money. Like, it's actually saving me money to buy a newer vehicle. Well, that's what you have the opportunity to do at Frontier Motors, okay? Cars that are a year, 2, 3 years young, in great condition, low miles, good prices, cars that you can count on, the kind of cars that are used but just barely. Right, that's what they specialize in. Go look around, see what they've got. You might find out that, it's just cheaper to get what I've got right now, and I'm happy with that. Or you might discover, oh my goodness, I can barely spend more money or maybe even save some money, and I can actually get a car that I'll enjoy and count on and won't have to, hate the experience of. So go test drive several. They've got 300 different cars and trucks on the lot, and you can look at as many or as few as you like. And if they don't have exactly what you want, they can go find it for you, because they do that for people all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food. That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gala Saturday at PSC. See UWWF.org for more information. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
On private browsing. Google is apparently clearing out billions of incognito search records.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. So this incognito mode that many Google users thought they were using, thought basically they wouldn't have their activity tracked and traced, but it appears that for years Google basically was using this incognito mode to still basically have a look at embarrassing searches of millions of people. Google then used this data to measure web traffic and sell ads.
Yeah, you know, some people's reaction to this is, duh. And some people's reaction is like, wait, what? So here's the short version of this. If you use incognito mode on Google, then you may have thought, I would say quite foolishly, but you may have thought that those records were never being kept or stored or tracked and were unavailable to anybody anywhere, period. That it was like, you know, using Snapchat or something, that it just kind of, it's gone as soon as you search for it. The reality is, and what was sort of, I don't know, obvious to anybody who thought about it, I think, is that even though it would not be available like on your device, you know, that you would not, like that's the idea of incognito mode, is it doesn't store any of that information on your computer. So if somebody wants to go look up your search history or your cache or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, they wouldn't find any evidence of what you look for, whether it's, you know, adult material or medical things or inconvenient questions, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? Well, turns out that, no, that stuff is actually available elsewhere because, for example, in case you don't know how the internet works, your internet service provider would have that information because they have to handle the traffic and there's no incognito mode at your ISP. And then also facilitating the process is Google, which owns the search engine. And not only do they have the information, but they kept it in a separate parallel account with your name on it so that they could more effectively target you with advertising based on your secret searches. And again, I think that some people are like, how dare they? And then other people are like, you thought they didn't? I mean, of course. Well, you know, inside Google, they basically had raised objections to this. You know, some of the people inside Google thought that it was lying to promote the idea to folks that their searches were truly, you know, incognito or anonymous, which, of course, they were not. And that's, you know, keeping these records and using it to market to people was inappropriate and immoral. And Google basically for years said, nah, nah. We don't care about that. So, yeah, now is a part of the settlement to avoid losing a court case against them. Google has agreed to, and I've heard two different versions of this, and I do not know which one is true, but one version of this is that they're just going to completely destroy the records. The other version is that they're not going to destroy the records, but they're going to deassociate them with your name. You know, take off kind of what you might think of as the metadata. It's not really quite the right way to say it, but it's a term maybe you're familiar with in other contexts, so that they would be able to still understand how people search, what's popular for people to search for. You know, that would allow them to prioritize preferred websites or ones that are popular or whatever. I don't know which one of those is true. In any case, it's supposed to separate it from your own personal behavior. And now if you go apparently on incognito mode for Google, you get more of a clear warning of what it does and does not protect you from, which is kind of different from what they used to say on that. So just kind of an interesting case that, again, there's nothing about this that I find surprising. I mean, Google is a company, or Alphabet is a company, that makes its money by gathering information for a product that is, what's that price again? Free. And if you're using a free product, then guess who the product is? Right? You're the product. Even when you pay for a product, you might be the product. But you're definitely the product if you're not paying for it. And so your information has always been the product that Google traffics in. And so, you know, if you're surprised about this, kind of like, well, why wouldn't they just be nice and offer this service? And because they're a company. They're not in the business of being nice. They're in the business of being a company. Anyway, 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You remember when the biggest invasion of privacy worry was like somebody in the bushes with some binoculars or something?
Yeah.
The good old days.
Yeah, or when your biggest worry was, you know, like the CIA.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
or
absolutely.
The FBI. And then you'd have somebody like James Clapper get on national TV in the Senate and totally lie about them not collecting metadata for your phone calls and your texts.
So
and
pretty much anything on the internet, you might as well have a giant flashing billboard above your head. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's records of everything somewhere. I mean, of course there is. Sorry, go ahead, David.
Well, the first no-hitter of the 2024 Major League Baseball season belongs to Ronald Blanco. He led the Astros to a 10-0 win over the Blue Jays last night. He struck out 7 batters without allowing a single hit on 105 pitches.
And apparently, he wasn't originally scheduled to even be on the starting roster for the Astros. I think he was a call-up due to injuries or personnel shuffle or something. I haven't followed the Astros, so I'm not sure, but I read something about that. So, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be there, and he gets the no-no, first no-no of the year.
Yeah, well,
you're
that
staying.
Definitely turned some heads for him, I'm
That's
sure.
That's right.
At least 5 aid workers delivering food into Gaza have died after an Israeli airstrike yesterday, according to the nonprofit World Central Kitchen. That group delivers meals to people that are in war zones and disaster areas. The group's founder, Jose Andres, confirmed those deaths on social media. And a homeless man in New York has been arrested for allegedly attacking an actor from a cable TV show, Boardwalk Empire. I haven't seen that show. Cops say 55-year-old Michael Stolberg was struck in the head with a rock while he was walking in Central Park on Sunday. Apparently, he's been nominated for an Emmy at some point. And he chased the man down until cops were able to catch up with him, and police charged the suspect with assault.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 557 on News Radio 92.3. President Trump did post the $175 million bond in the New York civil fraud case. That's the one where he had faced the $464 and still faces the potential $464 million fine. And they had wanted him to post the 100% bond, but they wrote that bond requirement down at an appeal. And so he still could have to pay, you know, I mean, not only forfeit the $175, but the additional $280 million or so that would be also subject to him losing if he loses. Of course, if he wins, he could, you know, or he could have a partial win or a reduction of the fine amount. There's all kinds of things that can happen. But the threat of having his property seized is no longer looming over him. But again, if he loses and he has to pay and he can't come up with the money, then he would eventually face the prospect of having property seized. Also, Truth Social, this is kind of an interesting note. You know how people notice that Truth Social was doing very well after the sort of the company associated with it and Trump's brand kind of merged with another company and they went public. And he made a ton of money, but he cannot sell his stock. Okay. So his stock had gone up it had gone up to about $5.2 billion. Okay. And some people had thought, myself included, that stock price was inflated by exuberance from people who support President Trump, buying it in order to, you know, make it more valuable, buying it as a way of supporting the president or whatever. Well, the stock did jump more than 30% in its first 2 days, which, again, raised his net value in that stock to $5.5 billion almost. But he cannot sell for 6 months. That was part of the deal. And then yesterday, well, actually, the stock fell 6% last Thursday, 21% it fell on Monday. That means that the value for him dropped from $5.2 to $3.8 billion. That's still a lot. Not a great day, though, when you drop $1.4 billion in stock value in a day, but still, there's, like I said, that's still a lot. $58 million in losses last year on revenues of just over $4 million for Truth Social is part of what sent the stock tumbling yesterday. And then again, you know, there's a lot of tech stocks out there that you know, people are speculating on the hopes that they will eventually make money, and they don't actually make money, but they're hoping that they will eventually, and they want to be have an ownership share when that happens. But again, one of the keys for this is whatever he might want to do with that stock, you know, sell it in order to use it for finance for his presidential campaign or just personal, whatever, he won't be able to do that for, you know, 6 months, basically, looking out for quite a ways into the future. 559 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.